You guys ready?
Yeah, let's hit that motherfucking record button.
Should I be able to hear myself?
Smash that fucking like.
It's recording, dude. It's recording. We're doing this. We're doing this.
Yo, we're back. We're back in New Jersey with the other half of the Jersey Ghouls. We're doing horror movie night. We're talking Nocturna. We're ready here with Marissa. We got Brian. We got Matt. We got me. My name is Scott. Let's fucking talk about disco, eh?
Hey, forget about
and,
it.
Scott, the way that you introduced that, I am shocked you weren't like, there's Matt over there on the ones and twos. Like you were.
I've only been in Jersey 6 times in my life, all right?
And I only know how to say pizza in Jersey.
Pizza!
All right.
We're keeping that alive this episode, my friend.
So we are back with another episode from Monster Mania. We're joined by Marissa of the Jersey Ghouls and Maison Scream. I'll give you a second to talk about...
Maison Scream!
Scream.
Yes, all those things.
I'll give you a second to talk about that real quick. And then I'll read the email sent in to us by Luke on why he picked this movie.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, no, check us out at jerseyghouls.com or at miseonscreen.com. I am definitely into taking on horror from like a more academic, feminist, you know...
Same.
perspective. And I am so stoked to be here with you boys because I absolutely adore all of you. So,
and we had a baller weekend together.
We
it was amazing.
So did.
We got to have our tables together.
Mm-hmm.
We got to break bread.
Mm-hmm.
We got to open a Red Bull with Brian. We got to drink some beers.
Mm-hmm.
Eat some pizza.
We ate some pizza.
I shook a hand.
We covered that in the last week's episode.
Hey, if you guys haven't forgotten since last week, and Brian's a complete cuck who walked up behind Danielle Harris and shook her hand and walked away. And he was like, oh, that was amazing.
All right. So we got an email from a listener named Luke. And God bless you, Luke, because you sent us 5 paragraphs to explain
read
why you
the whole
this movie.
Goddamn thing because it sold us on this film.
So he goes, he says, it's been over a year since I made my first recommendation to you.
Slow down.
And then in parentheses.
Wait, do we know what his first recommendation
was? He told us. In his parentheses, he wrote elves.
Oh, so good.
Luke is a masochist.
And or is he a sadist?
And I think that one turned out pretty well. So once again, I feel inspired to write to you with a new suggestion. Back in the day, when video stores were going out of business, I used to buy their VHS collections, and I had a huge library of rare films, most of which I regrettably sold to finance grad school. One that I kept for its extreme rarity and still cherish for its quality is Nocturna from 1979. Like Elves, I wanted to suggest it for a while, but only recently realized that it was available on VHS PS. With the pedigree of the film, I was shocked that it doesn't have a larger fan base. In fact, I thought of this film when you guys reviewed American Gothic, since they both star Yvonne DiCarlo. Additionally, Nocturna, a Transylvanian daughter of Dracula, is oddly played by a Vietnamese belly dancer. Finally, brother Theroy plays a werewolf who likes to spy while she's taking steamy oil baths. Donna Summer contributed to the soundtrack, which actually eclipsed the movie and is still sampled by DJs today. The film starts with a simple premise, I believe, that should have inspired more films. The daughter of Dracula decides she no longer wants to be the Princess of Night. Instead, she aspires to be a disco dancer. The film is worth it for the opening shot alone, which will forever transform your idea of how vampire women travel through castle halls. You've done several hard rock and heavy metal films so far, but maybe it's time that you try your wit on some disco.
I'm going to start this off with a hot take. This movie was better, this movie was more endearing, and this movie hit the mark way more than Rockula. Suck a fart, Matt.
I fucking loved it, so there's that. You had me at disco, but I don't know if I'd say it has a pedigree. Like, I think that's strong, Luke.
Yeah, I watching it, I was like, I'm not sure exactly what he means.
It's great because it is like a Mel Brooks movie, but all the jokes that don't work in a Mel Brooks movie are just this movie. Like, those misses, those few scenes in a Mel Brooks movie where you're like, oh, that didn't land, is this movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. Theo is the best villain of all time to me now. Like, there were so many things I loved about him, including his comment that women should just be barefoot, pregnant, and under the table.
See, that was
sexist. That was, I mean, I wrote that down.
Hot take from Brian. That was hot
take from me. That was sexist. But what was great? Why do I sound like a radio personality now?
Hey, WN
was the one line that, even though it was in a German accent, I heard it in Rodney Dangerfield's voice.
Oh, that was like, the same line I wrote.
I get turned on too easily. When I go to the countryside, they gotta cut bras on cows.
I had the line, if I'm dead, why do I have to wee-wee?
Yeah.
Like, I had that too!
Oh, man. This movie has so many, like... So, this movie tried to be very funny. And I feel like it failed a lot.
Yes.
Is this movie's first 5 minutes the actual plot to the kids' series Hotel Transylvania? Because it kind of felt like it was. Yeah.
Marissa has children. She can...
Yeah, clarify for us.
Yeah, actually, it is. I actually wrote that down in my notes because there is a Hotel Transylvania and they dance all the time. So I think they really should have... Like, they stole this movie, basically, for this fucking... Fuck you, Adam Sandler.
What do you think about the... What do you think about the dancing in Hotel Transylvania versus the dancing in Nocturna?
I tell you what, I had to lock the doors and get a little dirty while I was... I'm just kidding. I love this movie. I really did. I loved... Dude, where else do you get a vampire pimp?
See, that whole
scene, vampire pimp scenes, stereotypes. Yeah.
Through the roof. Like, it was the max stereotype. It's like, let's hear the Italian vampires. Like, so I work with the mob, and they're gonna start to notice that these are my fangs and not toothpicks. And it's like, what about the black pimp? And he's like, stereo, daddy. And I'm like, this is getting ridiculous.
Yeah, uncomfortably so, but I loved it. I don't know why. I know I shouldn't, but I really started out, like, I think my first note is, why do you hate me, Matt Kelly, when I first, like, that first 5 minutes, but then I fell in love.
My first note is, what the fuck is this? Like, the glare, like, the glowing eye, and, like, man, what a movie. And it's about an 80-minute movie. I watched it in about 70 minutes because there's about 15 minutes of music where I was like, I don't need this. This isn't pushing the plot along anyway.
Yeah.
It's just people dancing.
I'm waiting for Marissa to point out what makes this movie so great because we talked about it at the table.
Oh.
And it's what she sold her husband on.
Oh, yeah. By far, my favorite thing about this movie is literally the bat transformation scenes.
The bat transformation scenes are so phoned
They're
in.
They're so
I love
amazing.
It.
They were the Halloween educational movies you watched in elementary school.
Oh, man. I wasn't feeling it until Brian said that. Now I'm feeling it.
Yeah, no. That I think we all probably made notes about that because, holy shit.
No effort. No effort whatsoever.
And then the part where he finally kidnaps her and she's literally just in, like, a bag.
Oh, yeah. He finally kidnaps her?
Yeah, this movie is a mess.
Do you mean the last 5 minutes of this movie where they're like, oh, shit, we have a plot that we have to start?
And he got randomly introspective. It is the 30 seconds of, like, introspective in this movie is that speech that he's doing as he's holding the knife over him. And he's like, the only thing for certain is death. Like, straight Macbeth shit.
Well, I mean, there's
took
also
that same note,
but
yeah.
There's also lines like the German werewolf that's like, will she
He's
never
awful.
Molest me?
Holy yeah. shit.
Will she ever molest me?
I also wrote down, I think I was just making fun of the way she pronounced this word, but I wrote, in the refrigerator, which I think is how she tries to say refrigerator.
You know who
I think you're right.
So I read up on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for this woman because she wrote, produced, and starred.
Yeah, this was a passion project
this
for her.
And one
oh,
other
wait.
Movie.
The woman who's actually Nocturna?
Nocturna.
Yeah.
The
she did
belly
this
dancer?
And a movie called Hoodlums, and they both were such flops that she just left the industry. Like, walked away. Gave up on everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's a hot shot.
It's a vicious world.
Yeah. Now she's doing belly dances under the bridge for a nickel.
Dude, she's 60 by now. Easily.
That's why they're
nickel.
You
tell me there's not 60-year-old belly dancers?
It's easier to make it an illusion when it's just like...
Michael, it's an illusion, Michael.
Oh, man. So what else about this movie?
I have so many notes, but I feel like they're so lukewarm because this movie is just so lukewarm.
It's so middle of the road. I did have a note... that said, have I been single for a decade because I don't have a cassette player? Because he has that sweet pickup line where he's like, we got a single. It's on cassette. You want to come to my room? I got a cassette player.
It's so funny because 1979, it doesn't sound like that's when they would have cassettes. It would still be 8-track, right?
Late 70s, probably it would be cassette tapes at that point. I feel like 8-tracks were mid-70s.
Okay, fair enough. But
based on my knowledge of that 70s show, which is what I use for all of my historic 70s information.
Matt's sitting in college. Well, on episode 7, season 3.
The weirdest thing about this, my notes for this, is I don't even remember what's going on. So there's one song where the Donna Summers line is, love is just a heartbeat away, which I do kind of dig that song, and I understand why people are like sampling it, and that's cool. But then who's the old vampire? Carradine?
Yeah.
If I am alive, why am I here? But on the other hand, if I am dead, why do I have to wee-wee?
We discussed that.
Yeah. Fuck. I just wanted to say the whole thing. I wasn't paying complete attention to the... At some other time, someone says, I was hung like a walrus?
Yes.
Yes.
I have that written down.
So, I don't know about that. And then, is she never going to molest me?
Yep, got that one in there, too. Also, side
Matt
note...
Matt is just burning through these. See, the thing is... You are bringing up great points to this movie, and Matt is just burning through this.
So all this movie is weird quotes
and
disco songs.
So I do want to clarify, because Luke got something wrong in his email, and now we're quoting it incorrectly. It isn't Donna Summer. It's Gloria Gaynor, who did the I Will Survive song. She said she only agreed to do the song out of courtesy of her manager, whom she later married. In a 2008 interview, she said that the title of the song, Love is Just a Heartbeat Away, is not only corny, but the lyrics are dreadful and the arrangement was already dated in 1979.
Damn, so you wrote that is one some serious hit, shade.
Yeah. And now you're the queen Simmer, of disco?
Yeah, Sim Madonna. Should have been Donna Summer.
What a great reference.
That's pulling out of the vault, my friends. Back to the quotes from this movie. 90 pounds of quivering flesh. Most of these quotes are from the werewolf helper.
So,
butler.
Can I talk about my favorite quote from the vampire pimp?
No. We're not there yet. I am too easily aroused. And then fucking... what's the guy's
name? Did you fall asleep when we started recording this episode?
Wait, seriously? Did I miss all these?
Yeah.
Hey, so you should probably edit this episode pretty heavily.
No, I think it's got to stay.
Did you guys point out that Prince Adam, as in the guy that becomes He-Man when he raises his sword to the sky and says, I have the power, when they do their first dance together, that's the male protagonist. He looks like Prince Adam without the muscles.
Yeah.
He says, I love you.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to redeem myself.
No, but that's right. That definitely was the thing that happened where I was like, ooh, that's a bad move.
are we talking about Bloodsuckers of America now?
Yeah, the BSA.
The BSA.
Oh, my God.
Bullshit artists.
The BSA. But she finds herself alone with the pimp, and he goes, I was hoping you and I could get it on,
which is the most.
He is so offensive. Holy shit. He did not age well.
No.
I don't think he aged well in 79 either, honestly, but...
Well, because he also got... He's like, Helga, my Nordic goddess, Lulu, my African queen, and Ying Yang, my Chinese flower.
Yeah.
Which is... I wrote it down phonetically. This is not me being a fucking prick. Like, that's exactly how this pimp character does it. It's so... It made me so uncomfortable. Like, I've watched some uncomfortable shit for this show, but this is like... Just so culturally inappropriate.
Yeah, no, it's rough.
Yeah, and it's like this sounds like it is written by a white, like a
slave owner,
white man. Yeah. And it's written by Nocturna. That blows my mind.
Well, here's the weird thing about that is that I feel like she's Filipino. Is that?
She's something
for sure.
Yeah, I can't remember. Speaking of cultural appropriation,
I feel like she may be super racist for the time because she had no like concept of Black America.
Maybe, or maybe she's like, listen, I am struggling. Let's just appease these racist ass white people and give them what they want, and just wrote it how a
I
racist
doubt that's what happened.
It.
I really
you're giving her a lot of credit in that writing room.
I'm trying to help her.
So, all these dance scenes white savior. Make me super sad.
Are we? Have I fucking fallen into like some warped alternate reality where you're all sitting around like arguing about cultural appropriation and like you know, and I'm like, this
have
movie
you
fucking
not listened
rocked.
To the last
like,
hour or the last year like, of our podcast.
Yeah, listen,
the last 50 episodes of Horror Movie Night, I've been trying to redeem us from the first 2 years. All right, like seriously, but
and I say some offensive shit and then.
Then you text us
yeah,
and you're like,
I like it, you guys.
You either try to apologize for it or you are like me where the two of us will message Matt and be like, hey, can you edit that out, please? Because Matt won't edit us anymore because he's like, our chemistry is fantastic. Except for the point when I say something that I'm embarrassed by. So there's aww. That. But, well, it's because we're trying to be better. We're
I
trying
like
to be
it.
Better
yeah.
person.
Learning.
Be
I like
better
the
people.
New.
But, so these disco scenes make me super sad that we never got an OG Dazzler movie. Did you ever, guys ever watch,
oh,
read
the
Dazzler?
Dazzler. Jesus.
I am the straightest man who is obsessed with with 1979 Dazzler comic books because I have tons of them. And maybe it's 1980, but like I have so many Dazzler comic books where she's wearing this one piece and she's wearing these fucking, you know what disco balls look like with the squares of glass in them? She's wearing roller skates that look like a disco ball. And so Dazzler's power, she can turn sound into light. Hard light. So she can smash people with like a power beam because she's listening to a pop song. And oh my God. I love Dazzler. The fact that Dazzler has not been taken back by MCU is fucked up. Like, I think the Dazzler, we got Claw in the Black Panther movies. Claw is her number one nemesis. Because he makes sound with his fake hand, and she makes sound into light, hard light, so she can fight him. We never got a Dazzler movie. We never got Dazzler in any of the Singer X-Men movies. I feel like when they bring X-Men into the MCU, they need to bring Dazzler in. They need to bring Longshot in because then they can have a baby together. I think they go to Mojo World and they have a baby. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. But that's what this movie could have been, was Dazzler. And I'm so sad because Dazzler is such a great gay icon. Seriously, like my best friend in college was a lesbian who was like, you like Dazzler? Are you sure you like women? Because yeah. I was like, I do love Dazzler. And I love women. And that's what we bonded about, Dazzler women. So I don't know. Oh, the vampire smoking weed part where you get so high that you become a bat?
Yeah, no, I had a note about
so high that.
That
you are chalking up a person becoming a bat to weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've smoked enough weed that I would probably remember an experience like that.
Well, here's the thing. When you smoke weed, at least for someone who's anxious, normal shit freaks you out.
Yeah.
So weird shit freaks you out even more.
It's terrible. Like, it's
when
the worst.
A cop is following me for 4 miles and dressed as a minivan. And then I just realize, oh, I'm on a major road, and this minivan is just going in the same direction I am, and I can sit up straight. And that's what weed does.
This is why Brian became straight edge, and why he got out of his cycle of addiction, was basically because he didn't want to feel paranoid about driving on the street anymore.
Yeah, but it doesn't
listen,
work.
I've been sober my entire life. I'm paranoid on the road every time I see a cop car. I'm like, I must have done something.
My body,
why else would they
listen,
be behind me right
I
now?
I am not straight edge. I partake in a cocktail once or twice and have in my lifetime. And anytime you see a cop, even if you are obeying all speed laws, you're like, oh, God, this is it. This is when it happens.
Yeah,
I'm going to jail.
Every time.
Yeah, it's not just you, Matt. I'm just telling you. It's not just you.
I also listen to a lot of rap music and get freaked out by the police sirens in rap songs, thinking that I'm about to be pulled over.
Is it like the real ones, or you're getting like?
I know
out
the
whoop,
whoop. No,
that's the sound of the police.
No,
is that what they sound like?
I know the Fugees and N.W.A. are the two that trick me every time.
Yeah, Straight out of Compton. Good tune.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, is any other notes on Nocturna?
I loved it.
Are you fucking candy crushing right now, Matt Kelly?
I might be.
Oh my God. I'm not even.
I'm fucking going home.
Wow. Wow.
All the way from Jersey.
Seriously, they drove 20 minutes for this.
I could be in fucking bed right now, Matt Kelly.
Yes, like, with your husband and children.
I left my children motherless for this.
Dude, how could you criticize?
You motherfucker.
Support us.
Yeah. And dude, and don't you cut that out, motherfucker.
You do not care about feminism.
No.
Yeah. Holy shit.
It's because I'm a woman, isn't it?
This is going to sound insane. There was a split second I thought that I was just at home recording over Skype where I'm always playing Candy Crush.
I'm glad it was playing Candy Crush and he didn't just like unzip his pants and just like start sitting in his boxers.
Oh, says the guy who fucking pissed in a bottle during our recording month ago.
And you can hear it. Hey guys, fun fact, if you listen to one of our episodes, you can hear Brian peeing into a bottle.
If you DM one of us and tell us what episode it is and you're right, we will send you a free horror movie t-shirt.
Yes.
Yes.
The episode in the time stamp, we'll get it
to
you.
Yeah, we'll do it.
It is a split second. I mute it.
It's so not a split. It is 20. It's no, like 10 to 20 seconds of pissing.
Second. It's a.
Do you wear like a diaper now during recordings? No, how do you learn how to
be a fucking adult man? Is what.
And here's the other thing. Side note: on this particular recording, we recorded three things that day, and after every recording, he had to go and make a sissy. But he
make a sissy.
But it only took 30 minutes, so he had to pee three times in an hour and a half.
I have such a tiny bladder, guys. And I
you know what they say about guys with big shoes? Tiny bladders.
Yeah, no, it was bad. But yes, I did. I did pee. I peed.
All right.
Well, guys, yeah, thanks for having me, y'all.
What is your guess? So, Marissa.
Yeah.
What double feature would you do with this movie?
I think I have a good one.
Okay.
And I go prom night because. Jamie Lee and Nocturna dancing off for like in prom night. There's like a 30-minute long.
That is a dance. Solid. Yeah. That is a really yep. good double feature. Totally beyond what I would have expected.
Genius. Yeah.
Because
thanks, man.
Would you start with Nocturna and then end with prom night? Or
oh, absolutely. Because prom night's the better of the
but
two.
The thing is that the prom night's great until that 20-minute chase scene.
That's true.
I don't really watch prom night anymore because it's like it's great.
Because
except
Mary
for
Lou
when,
is a better prom night movie.
Dude, Hello Mary Lou is one of the top 20 best horror movies ever.
It's definitely like top 5 best sequels to a horror movie.
Wow.
Sure.
We might need to do a bonus episode top 5 sequels.
I was going to say we've done Hello Mary Lou.
I know, but I want to talk about it again. I could talk about it once every 6 months and still not be upset because that movie is the shit.
Yeah. What are the rules to that? Hypothetically, it has to be number 2.
It has to be the second movie in a franchise. Or it could be a franchise or it could be a general sequel. So it could be Freddy's Revenge, like that's in a sequel.
It
the second. or it could be what's a movie that only had 2? What's a horror movie that only had 2?
I know that there was maybe 3, but it could be like a Urban Legend. I think there was
when
a stranger calls back.
Yeah,
when a stranger calls back. That would be a great bonus episode where we just kind of shoot the shit about great second movies.
Yeah, I'll put that on the calendar.
You guys are going to crucify me for
The Plague?
Pumpkinhead 2.
Oh, God.
Blood Wings.
Say it now so that you can get it out of your system and not say it again.
I will say it on that episode if it ever happens.
That would be the equivalent of the confidence in which you pulled House of a Thousand Corpses from the Halloween movie marathon draft when no one else was going for it.
I know.
But wasn't that because he didn't realize the way that we were doing the draft?
Yeah. No. I just got...
No, he just really thought that we were all going to gun for that over Trick or Treat.
I knew they were going for Trick or Treat. It was a...
No, you didn't. That's right. That's why you did have this House of a Thousand Corpses. And I was like, well, you're not doing Trick or Treat for number 1. I'm going to do it for number 2. And you're like, oh, you guys are so
mean. Let me
tell
you something. If you guys got your doctorate in college, you would understand what a whoopsie-daisy is. And I did a whoopsie-daisy. And I said the wrong movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's sure. It is. I will say that it is this my favorite moment. In all the time that you've
bullshit.
Been on the show.
Bullshit.
He goes, well, I might as well get this before anyone else gets it. House of a Thousand Corpses. And then there's silence, and Brian Berger just goes, what?
The least fun I had on the show was that in trivia.
truly,
we got to do another trivia.
We got to do another trivia because you're so upset about it. But the thing is like, I don't understand how that's Brian's worst moment.
I just think it's the burger what that makes it my favorite moment. Not anything with Brian specifically, but it's that silence with the absolute genuine like, huh? All right.
Josh loves Rob Zombie, so I am excited to talk to him about it eventually this weekend.
All right, so who wants to do the next?
I'll go next.
All right.
Blackula? Not because that would be a fun night, but rather because I feel like they're stylistically similar. I've never seen Blackula, so this is one of those times where I'm picking two movies I've never seen at the movie store in 1999, because I worked at a video store in 1999. Let's just say there are two VH. It's three for $3 for 3 days. $1 a piece for 3 days for VHS tapes. So it's almost like not even a danger to get a bad movie. So I'm picking Blackula, Nocturna, and we're probably going to go with like
a porn. Yeah.
No, those aren't part of the three for three, man.
No, you got to pay more for those.
What is wrong with you?
I'm just thinking Scott in 1999.
Dude, I wasn't
actually going to be porn.
In 1999, I wasn't 20, or I wasn't 18, man.
Oh, you were working on the video store. I figured you'd slide.
We invited three listeners to come in the hotel room to listen to us record it.
And man, I also I'm like the fact that did not take us up on that.
Yeah,
offer.
The best part about beyond that, the best part about this whole thing is that Kyle was asleep for the entire thing.
I saw him.
He was out cold. I gave him whiskey and he fell asleep at 8:15 p.m.
And penetration was his
alarm clock. And then we started talking about porn. He's like, what? What are we talking about?
Anyway, so my double feature suggestion.
Holy shit.
I would go with The Apple. Okay. A disco musical.
Isn't
that
haven't
I love.
You picked this before?
I love this fucking.
No, you
disco
don't.
Musical. I
you
love
don't
it.
Love the apple. You love the concept of the apple, and you want to show it to people so that you can be like, oh, somebody else thinks this movie isn't complete shit. Like the people that went to see it in the movie theater and then threw their vinyl on the floor and broke them that they got for free.
Can we?
They threw them at the screen and the Canon Films had to pay for the repairs.
Okay, that's even
screen.
Better. Sorry.
Thank
sure,
you very much.
Sure.
Pride.
So my double feature. I'm sorry we're going back to porn, but...
Yay!
Let me explain. I'm 8 years old. I have mental...
That was your first porn experience? Fuck!
You might just be painting a fictional picture here.
Okay.
I have a mental boner. Not a physical one yet. Like, my mind is...
Ooh, yeah, you're I got it.
I'm interested in sex. So I want to rent two pornos, and I get shafted on both of them. One is Nocturna, and the other is Flesh Gordon. Movies I buy...
Flesh Gordon?
Sex.
Yeah. Flash or Flesh?
Flesh. It was the porn
with
comedy.
With an E.
Yes.
So I've never seen it. Have you... You've seen it.
Yeah.
Flesh Gordon.
Matt, you've seen... Marissa? Yeah.
No, never seen it.
So they it was a porno... It was a porno, but it was widely released with all the sex scenes cut out of it.
What the fuck? What's left?
Him fighting like claymation penis monsters.
Yes, that's what that was.
Actually,
that
you're
was
selling me. Selling me on the PG-13 version.
The one I saw.
Tell me more.
So yeah, so that's 8 years old me.
Wait, so you saw the PG-13 with the without
I saw
the sex scenes?
I saw. I see the no nudity Nocturna.
So you saw a bunch of dicks
and no nudity.
Claymation dicks.
Flesh Gordon. Yeah. And a short 20 years later, I see my first boobs. And that is
thanks,
my double
Jade.
Feature.
You fixed Brian.
That was Nocturna from 1979, as selected by someone. Luke. I guess, maybe. Thank you for your suggestion. This took a interesting turn. I'm not sure how much of it will make it into the final episode, but we'll find out. It should be a good time. It'll be a good time either way. We will be back next week with another episode recorded at Monster Mania, joined by some of our other podcasting friends that are here at Mania. And it's going to be a campy good time, I can tell you that. So come and check us out at hmnpodcast.com. All of our social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc., HMN Podcast, or visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/HMN Podcast. That's it.
Cool.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.